This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Here we go. It's hour one, G-Bag Nation, 105.3. The Fan, hope you're having a great day. It's hour four, actually, of the G-Bag Nation. You have Dan Campbell up there. He's distracting me just a little bit.
Yeah, Shereen Williams. Yeah. Shereen Williams was standing, our very own Shereen Williams was standing behind him getting some quotes.
Well, it's another big day of news in the NFL, and we're going to get you what Mike McCarthy had to say in just a moment. We'll do want to tell you, Rally House in Arlington tomorrow. And Ranger fans, if you're heading to the game, you know, or getting ready to head to the game on Thursday, we'd love to see you at Rally House in Arlington tomorrow so you can get geared up. You know, you want to do that opening day properly.
Hell yeah.
General at your service, there's Broadus. You have Wolchuk and Schiafalo, of course. Joey Erickson's in for Lucius Alexander. And Carter Freeman is coordinating your video at 105thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. NFL Power Rankings 2023, 32 teams after free agency. I'm going to give you where the Cowboys are. I'm going to give you the teams ahead of them and directly behind them. You tell me if the Cowboys should be higher or lower. Now, at the end of the season, before the draft, before free agency, their way too early ranking after the Super Bowl was sixth. They had them at sixth. And I believe the Cowboys have done a pretty good job making themselves better. That's one of the things Jerry Jones said today. Said he believes the Cowboys are better than when the season ended. But ESPN disagrees. They dropped the Cowboys two spots to eighth, saying Van Der Esch is a vital part of Dan Quinn's defense. Forget the tackles. He had 100 last season despite missing three games. He gets everybody lined up. When the Cowboys did not have him, that played a part in their run game woes. Rookie Damone Clark looked to Van Der Esch for guidance in certain situations. The way Van Der Esch looked to Sean Lee when he was young. He can make sure the defensive line is in the correct gaps. That's important to a defense that needs all 11 players on the same page. That's what Todd Archer wrote. It's interesting the editor of this article picked that out as their explanation for why they had them at eighth. Seems a little low if you ask me. Do you think the Cowboys are better than number seven, L.A. Chargers? Brought us. Cowboys or Chargers?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, Wolchuk, Schiafalo?
Yeah, Cowboys.
Okay, Schiafalo, back to you. They have the Miami Dolphins coming in sixth. Are the Cowboys better than the Dolphins going into the 2023 season?
If you told me that Tua was for sure going to be healthy, I would say the Dolphins are better. But there's no way that you can predict that. And yeah, in fact, I think you would predict that Tua is not going to be healthy for very long. So I would take the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think that's perfect analysis. Miami's on the doorstep. I thought at times they played well last year. I don't know. Are they the fourth best team in the AFC? But I think they're in the conversation to maybe be better than the Cowboys. Brian, what do you think?
I think they're in the conversation, but I can't put them there yet. I just can't. I did my top six just as we were thinking about that. And I know it's not answering the Miami question. Kansas City, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Philadelphia, Dallas.
Okay.
That was my top six.
Would you, if Aaron Rodgers was a Jet today, would you have the Jets ahead?
No.
Okay.
I would not.
The Super Bowl odds right now have the Cowboys at seventh, and they have the Jets one spot ahead of the Cowboys with slightly better odds because they're assuming that the Aaron Rodgers factor there. But everything is the AFC. I mean, that's the cool part. You only have, in terms of most likely to win the Super Bowl, the only two NFC teams ahead of you are the Niners and the Eagles. The NFC, I'm trying to figure out who is the other team that's going to make an appearance here. Do you trust Detroit? Do you trust New Orleans and Derek Carr?
No.
The
no.
Vikings? The no. Giants?
No.
The Packers now? No. The Rams? I mean, probably not unless Stafford's actually healthy, but who's the NFC team that is going to climb? Because It's hard to see right now.
On ESPN's rankings, they have the top five, the Bills, the Eagles, the Niners, the Bengals, and the Chiefs. I think that's a solid ranking.
Yeah.
I just don't think they're acknowledging what the Cowboys have done here, how much better they've become, and what little they lost. The Bills are losing way more. The Eagles are losing way more. I would have the Cowboys fourth behind the Chiefs, Bengals, and Niners, guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think you could argue maybe putting the Bengals ahead of the Cowboys. With the way that Joe Burrow performs, and they still have a ton of good offensive weapons. And I think the Orlando Brown signing was great for them to help bolster that offensive line. But then again, they lost both of their starting safeties this offseason. So they're also a team that's lost some. The Lions, to me, are like the Chargers of the AFC, where everybody's hyping them up. They had a strong finish to the season, but they've just never done anything.
I think they win the North.
I think that they could win the North. I mean, who else are you going to pick?
I'll say it. They're going to win the North.
I'm going to take the Bears.
If Aaron Rodgers ends up with the Jets, they're winning the North.
Okay. All right. I'll go with the Bears right now in the North. I think the Bears are going to crush the draft. I like the moves that they made to get DJ Moore, and I'm putting my eggs in Justin Fields' basket to have that leap year in year three.
Where the Cowboys can jump here is, as you put them in that top six, where they could jump some of these teams like you're talking about, Buffalo, Philadelphia, the way they draft. If the Cowboys have that draft, and that's the one thing that they are really, really good at. So if you said to me, the draft is going to hinge for me who's 4, 5, and 6 on my list. Whoever feel like has the best draft out of 4, 5, and 6, which is Buffalo, Philadelphia, Dallas.
You need the Eagles to mess up.
Yeah, that's who I'm going to put above.
Eagles got 2 first-round picks.
10 and 30.
It's going to be hard to outperform them. Yeah. You're going to have to make that up on day three in one way or another. Now, relief is coming in terms of this division. I saw a story today, Howie Roseman. The Eagles would prefer to get a deal done with Jalen Hurts sooner than later. So they'll be the next team to go through that experience of being like, wow, I thought we had a lot of good players, but we had to let a bunch of them go because we signed our quarterback. And we'll see if they can keep drafting or team building once they're hit with that anchor. I don't like their chances. What Mike McCarthy has said today, he said football is an easy game. If you want your guys to play fast, give them less responsibility. That's the secret sauce in putting together a good offensive system. What do you guys think? Is he oversimplifying it? Is he nailing it? Simple's the secret sauce? It seems like we're getting more complicated in attempts to deceive the defense before and after we snap the ball, but I don't know.
You don't think he's talking about Dak, do you?
A little bit.
You don't think he's saying make it more simple for Dak?
I think that they won last year. They went
4-1
with Cooper Rush.
Asked him to do too much.
And they simplified things. And you even had Dak make comments about how, simple is better.
Hell, it could be about Tolbert, too.
Right.
It could be about, anybody that's lining up and playing for him.
You're right, Brian. I was looking at that wrong. I think that's exactly what he's saying. We're going to simplify things for Dak Prescott, allow him to play faster. Yeah. And I think in that context, it makes a lot of sense.
It matches with everything he said prior to free agency about the defense too. Like, we're basically going to play to our defense. We believe in our defense. We believe in Dan Quinn and that side of the football. We don't want to mess things up by turning the football over and allowing the other team added possessions. We're going to simplify, try and play safe football, run the ball, see how this goes.
Yeah, and you've heard Aaron Rodgers discuss the West Coast offense and how much he loves it and how everything is set in place. Mm-hmm. Here's my read. I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going with the football. If that's not there, I know where I'm going here. It's not a bunch of stress on your quarterback to try and figure things out. It's supposed to be pretty black and white. Here's your first read. Here's your second one. That should make things, I guess, simpler for your quarterback.
When's Dak at his best?
It used to be on the run.
Right. 2-minute offense.
I thought up-tempo for sure.
It is. Yep. And look, maybe they do go a little more up-tempo, but a big part of that is he's not thinking. He's reacting. He's just playing within the moment. You don't take a lot where he's having to overthink and go pre-snap and look at this. What's this safety doing? Is this linebacker coming down to the box? What's the coverage here? If you basically are dictating your offense and not allowing the defense to dictate to you, which I think they were doing too much last year, based on coverages, you're checking out of plays, this could be better for Dak.
Yeah, I do not like Dak standing in the pocket and deciding what to do with the ball 3-4 seconds later. You know, I want to get that ball out to guys that are clearly open and hopefully on the move. That's the component that I'm wondering, were Garrett Linehan and Moore protecting us from Dak not being able to hit guys on the move? Or were they making a massive offensive mistake not throwing to guys on the move more? I don't think all three of them could have been dead wrong. I think Mike believes Dak can evolve to be better at it. I think that's what would make the most sense to me.
I agree.
Okay, Mike was asked about play calling. I don't sleep as well as I did before. I'm sure I'm talking in my sleep more than I ever have. It takes up a lot of your headspace. Is this going to be a good thing, a much more engaged and energized Mike McCarthy? I mean, he's so anxious about this, he's losing sleep, guys.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing that he's super into it and he's energized and fired up, and it's kind of consuming him at all facets of his life a little bit. I think that's how I think we'd all probably describe ourselves that way about this job. You like your job, you're excited about it, you're thinking about it, maybe even at times where you probably shouldn't be, and that can maybe potentially negatively affect other things, but on that particular thing, it's probably going to work for you.
Yeah, but to me, it's like there's an ownership, there's a passion, there's an obsession that the best coaches do, and I think what happened when you took so much responsibility away from Mike McCarthy, he didn't know how to be all in. And now you're getting a guy that has guided a team to a championship instead of a guy in Kellen Moore that was learning on the job. And maybe the time has passed him by for Mike to still be good at his job, but dang it, I like the change in direction and what we might see here. But he says it's hard when you win one. When it comes to why no coaches won a Super Bowl with two different teams, he said it's a culture and a process that your program puts in position to win that first one. And I definitely had that in my last experience. Do you believe that organizations win championships, or a coach can make an organization that great that they win a championship, Brian?
I think the coach has a lot to do with it. I mean, I've been a part of the organization. Like in Green Bay, we won the Super Bowl in 96 because we had an MVP quarterback. At the time, I thought one of the best head coaches in Mike Holmgren. You know, we weren't drafting particularly well, but we were kind of putting some things together. So I don't know if the organization was really – we traded for Favre. So that – you got to give us a little credit for that. But I felt like the players were the ones, and the head coach were the one. The coaching staff were the ones that won that championship.
Yeah.
More so than what we were doing on the personnel side.
Starts with players, man. I mean, Cincinnati, they didn't win the Super Bowl, but I mean, that's not an organization people would really respect.
No, you're right about that.
And you get some dang good players in there. Yeah. And in their case, I don't think many people are super impressed with Zach Taylor, their head coach. They're getting it done, though, with fantastic players. There's a salary cap for the players you can have and a salary cap for coaches.
No.
Yeah. You can pay whatever coach you want. We don't care. We know it's the players ultimately. If you got a kick-ass team, now, inevitably, you got to have a little bit of everything here, but it's all about the players to start.
I'm going
to
do a little preview of radio you do in June. You know, we do these Cowboy predictions and stuff. That week 6, Brian Schottenheimer will be calling plays.
Okay. All right.
Think it's not going to work out. There.
I think it's going to be a situation where there are going to be some pitfalls along the way, and I think Schottenheimer's going to take it over.
Well, his game management is not great, and I don't know if being an active play caller will make him more dialed in, more finger on the pulse, or less. And maybe there'll be more mistakes and more distraction. And you know, Brian Schottenheimer's good at his job.
A lot of people around the league say a lot of really positive things about him. And matter of fact, there's defensive players in the Cowboys that give him a lot of credit for the way he prepared the defense last year to get ready for some of these opponents. He had that old Ben McAdoo job, and there were a lot of defensive guys that say, hey, this guy's pretty sharp.
A lot of moving parts with this team. A lot of different guys coming in the two big trades. Are you guys ready? Could Jerry Jones actually win Executive of the Year again here in his 80s? If this works out, you change around your coaching staff, you make those two trades, if you get yourself back in territory where you're winning 13 or 14 games now, this could happen. And more than that, do you think he's doing a good job?
They've done a great job this offseason.
How can you take that away from them?
Yeah, they've done an excellent job this offseason. I mean, I think Will McClay and Steven are part of that as well, 100%. It's not just Jerry, but I mean, the two trades they made, give up fifth-round picks to get two starters at two positions that were glaring glaring weaknesses when you got eliminated by the 49ers in the playoffs. You were desperate for a second cornerback opposite Diggs, and you badly needed another playmaker on offense. They've addressed that.
Yeah, those two trades to me, I would say great trades. Offseason, I can't give you great because you did the Tony Pollard thing, and you're doing the Tyron Smith thing, and you're donging around with Terrence Steele right now. You're doing a couple of weird things, but it's still been a really, really good offseason. But there's other teams that have done so much more, like what the Bears have done. Like if the Bears do what Walchuk says they're going to do, they're going to, because look at all the talent they've brought in. You know, like the Cowboys, they've made two moves. They made two moves.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fair. That's fair. Yeah,
they did not have nearly the cap space, though, of the Bears.
I'll be interested.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't think they could have made some of those moves.
100%,
but I hear what you're saying. Yeah, like, yeah. They didn't win the offseason. There's other teams that probably did more.
I'll be real interested to see when they get to that draft at pick at 26, and if Bijan Robinson's sitting on that board, because Jerry Jones last year was the one that talked them into drafting Sam Williams in the second round.
Really?
Everybody in that room wanted to take Tolbert. And it, you know, they ended up taking
Tolbert. Good for Jerry.
Jerry's the one that stood up and said, no, we're taking Sam Williams here, boys.
Nice.
You know, yeah, so, Jerry. I mean, but that's, we'll see if that works out. But I'm interested to see if we get that Jerry Jones in the war room, especially on these early picks.
A lot of news percolating around the NFL and around the sports world in general. We'll get you the top headlines and hit the expressway. Bobby Belt will join you. Then you'll get some LA Live coming up before the hour is out next here in the G-Bag Nation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Expressway on the G-Bag Nation is brought to you by Rockwall Ford.
All righty, thank you. Joey Erickson in for Lucius has Joey Live coming up here in about 20 minutes. Bobby Belt's about 7 minutes away. Every night at this time, we hit you with everything that's been developing throughout the broadcast afternoon. Leody Taveras is going to start the season on the injured list. We kind of knew that was going to happen, but outfield situation unclear with the Texas Rangers, and I'm sure he'll be okay before too long and get the season going. Mavs visit the 76ers tomorrow. Does last night's victory give you guys some optimism about what we might see in the final six games?
It does not for me, no. I mean, it was a good win against a Pacers team that wasn't really trying. So, look, Luka looked fantastic. And it's nice to have him and Kyrie playing. But, yeah, Kyrie that's battling through plantar fasciitis. I still don't think they can play worth a lick on defense. So, no, that one game didn't really change my optimism that they're going to be able to make a run at this thing.
You go beat Philly, and we'll think, okay, well.
They can beat Philly, yeah. We can talk.
I do think a lot of it is mental and emotional. And if they can show me that they've fixed that enough to win back-to-back games and they got some momentum, I wouldn't be surprised to see them play themselves back in.
You need Joel Embiid not to play this week in this game. And you're playing 3-6-8 on this road trip now.
They got a tough schedule.
Yeah. So, and to be honest with you, I don't think you can lose a game. You lose one game, you're probably not going to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, to me, they put themselves in this situation because they've had some really terrible losses this year, and especially what you saw last weekend this past week against Charlotte.
That was embarrassing.
Two really, you can't afford to lose any games, but who knows? Like I say, I agree with Wolchuk. I'm to the point now where this thing is not going to get repaired. All of a sudden you think, oh, they're going to start playing better basketball. It's not going to happen.
No. They just found a team that cared less than them.
Yeah. There's nothing about last night that gives me confidence about this specific Mavs team moving forward right now. The Jaden Hardy stuff, beautiful. The only thing that they could actually do is just get super ridiculously hot from downtown. Because when you look at the splits here, like, they're getting good looks. They're getting good looks from three. We can lament the defense and the rebounding. That ain't happening. The only way this team, as currently constructed, they got to just shoot the freaking lights out from the three-point line. And thank you, Kirk Henderson. Since acquiring Kyrie Irving, they're 8-13. When you win, you're hitting 48% of your threes and you're hitting 19 of them. When you're losing, you're hitting 35% of your threes and you're only making just under 15. 35% isn't even like bat bleep terrible.
No.
But you have to... But you have the capability of hitting 48%. That's like what it takes for you to win. You have no defense. You have no rebounding. And we can lament that all we want. That ain't changing.
No.
The only plausible thing, and it's not even really plausible, 48% from three is ridiculous. You'd need to be over 40% from three as a team, and you better hit close to 20 of
them.
That's
not a winning formula.
It's
your only chance.
It's even more than that, though, guys. These guys can't close games.
No.
Them and Utah are.
You got to be able to get stops and rebounds to close
the game. Those are the teams that play in those clutch games or crunch game, whatever you want to call it, that crunch period, clutch period, whatever. I mean, they play in a ton of those games and haven't figured this out.
Yeah.
They're not. And you expect them to get in the playoffs and do something by playing those games?
Well, I think they could get into the play in if they win like four of the remaining six. But no, I have not been expecting them to do much of anything.
3-7 in their last 10. The only team in the West who's worse is the Trail Blazers, who are 1-9, and they've shut down Damian Lillard. They're really trying to tank. Jaden Hardy, though, I mean, that's your silver lining.
You have something to be excited about there.
Yeah.
Okay, story in the morning news. The woman who says Jerry is her daddy, now suing him for defamation of character as well, saying Jones and his associates set forth to portray her as an extortionist. So I believe they succeeded in doing that. I just don't know if she really is one. But it's a horrible story all the way around.
Is she still in politics, I wonder? She was a congressional aide, right? If she was doing that kind of work.
The daughter?
The daughter. She might be. I didn't know if she, but that was, if she was, if that's the line of work she's trying to get in, she better get used to people trying to smear.
The story says she's still a congressional aide.
Yeah.
If I'm Jer, I'm just like, you're my daughter. Here's $25 million. Are we good? You know, we don't have to fight in court and have this all
Why
drug
does
out.
She should fight. We're talking this man's worth $10 billion. Mm-hmm. She shouldn't have to settle for 25. If she's a legitimate child.
Yeah.
You know,
and why wouldn't you feel like, dude, I really want to take care of this gal. Oh, all my other kids get hundreds of millions, but you get nothing. I'm going to fight you in court. It's not a good look, Jer. Throw her some cash. Kevin Durant will finally make his home debut for the Suns tomorrow against the T-Wolves after missing 3 weeks because of a left ankle sprain. Freak accident warming up March 8th. Cost him a miss the past 10 games. Never seen anything like that in my life. And then two nights later, it happened to a different guy. There was some weird, weird mojo going down with the pregame layup line. The Brooklyn Nets are shutting down Ben Simmons' rest of the season. Hasn't played since the Nets final game before the All-Star break. They just need to retire him. It's sad. That's another deal that's just super sad. Coach Pete Carroll attempting to quash any notion the Seahawks are considering cutting safety Jamal Adams. Said that he's stressing the signing of Julian Love, a free agent safety, does not mean that Adams or fellow safety Quandre Diggs are on the outs. It does remain unclear if Adams, who's coming off surgery, will be ready for week one of the 2023 season, though.
Yeah, these guys, it's all about lying right now, so there's a lot of lying going on.
Yeah, you got to protect all your interests.
All your interests, yep.
Fox Sports wanted to play it safe before they signed Jeets to its MLB pregame show. Eric Shanks, CEO, reportedly checked in with Alex Rodriguez to see if it was okay. We heard during their playing careers they did not like each other. Then they ended up on the Yankees together. A-Rod went to third base. I thought for sure these guys are both nearly 50 years old, well into their post-playing careers. It would be water under the bridge, but apparently things icy enough that even A-Rod, he's across the country working play-by-play games. A-Rod, is it cool if you have a two-minute pregame conversation with Jeets once a week? They had to check with him on that. That was surprising to me, Wolchuk. It really was. I know I lean on you as our baseball guy.
I don't think they wanted this. They don't want this to come off as awkward, do they? Like, no. You know, you can see like body language on camera. Probably not a good situation.
No.
You don't want that whole thing. Like, you know, it's hey, you know, when we have interaction with people that might, you know, I think it's a smart thing to alert people. Like, hey, listen, I'm about to talk to this guy. You have a problem with that?
Yeah.
You know, let everybody know what's going on, and that way you can smooth through. Because the last thing you do is want to see what's going on, like, yeah, we saw it with what happened with Joe Buck. Remember, Joe Buck is getting interviewed by Scott Van Pelt, and he's asking Troy Aikman all the questions, and Scott Van Pelt just keeps going on and on and on, and Joe Buck's like, you gonna ask me any questions?
What's the point of me being here?
Why do you want
me
here? Why am I hanging out here? Yeah. It becomes very awkward, and then now everybody picks up on that, and it's a big national story.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want any of that nonsense happening in your broadcast. It's time now for Bobby Belt to join you here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Bob, good afternoon. How the heck are you?
What's up, everybody?
Well, you tell us, man. These stories are interesting. Are the Cowboys really thinking about moving Terrence Steele to left guard? How much on a scale of 1 to 10 is that a credible story out there? Bob,
man, I don't know what you can exactly take from what they're planning to do at offensive line right now, just because in the last 24 hours you've heard different things from Jerry, Steven, and Mike McCarthy. Like, it doesn't seem like they're all totally on the same page here, and I'm sure they are. I'm sure they do have an idea of what they're wanting to do. That to me speaks to the poor communication between them about what their messaging is going to be. But in terms of what it looks like week one, because Mike McCarthy talked today about, like, yeah, it's something we're looking at, guard potentially, but you know, it's fluid, nothing's set yet. I still think, just from people I trust and people I talk to, that the likeliest scenario at this point would be Steele and Tyler as your tackles, obviously Zach Martin where he is, Tyler Biadasz where he is, and then a question at left guard. Stephen Jones made the point to say last night that they have too many Doga here, and that he would be somebody that would could be in contention for that left guard spot. But I still think that there's a decent chance, if they make no other additions, that the starting left guard isn't even on the roster yet, and won't be until the draft. And so I don't personally think it's a great idea to put Terrence Steele at guard, regardless of what you have at tackle. But, you know, it feels like lying season to me.
How about the other one? Is it real the Cowboys could bring back Zeke? I think league minimum at fullback actually makes sense, Bobby, and I'd like to try that more and see him with the Eagles. What do you say?
Man, I'd really like to have a more athletic fullback than that guy. it's something where I always thought there was just the smallest chance, like the door was left cracked open for, all right, you know, if you go out there, you test the market, and you realize that you really don't have the market that you thought you did, come on back and we can investigate this. But I think what this is a lot of glowing remarks being made towards Zeke. I think that it's funny that, you know, Steven, when asked why they didn't offer him a pay cut, he's like, well, I mean, a player of his caliber, you don't even want to insult him with the offer. And then it's like, okay, well then, if he's a player of that certain caliber, why did you feel the need to pay him less than that or release him altogether? So I think that they're just being kind and diplomatic right now. But while I'd say there's maybe like a 1% chance of something like that happening, I really don't see that occurring.
Well, Bobby, you say 1%, but could they be kind and diplomatic and thinking the guy doesn't have a job and he's willing to come in for veteran minimum?
Well, yeah, that's what I said. That would be the 1% right there. Would be
yeah,
I mean,
to me, that's like that Jerry would like walk in there and say, listen, Zeke doesn't have a job, does he?
Throw him a bone.
Yeah, that maybe like let him, you know, let's see if he comes in, he makes our team and all that. I mean, you know, maybe we could find something for him to do. It seems like to me a very Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones is the one that would keep this door open. I don't know if Will and Steven necessarily would. But I could see Jerry like, well, God, this guy's got nothing going on. Let's give him another year here and see what we got.
Yeah, that would be, again, where I think the 1% comes in, is if he, you know, if we get further into this, Zeke still doesn't have a job. Zeke is willing to play for a certain amount rather than say, you know what, I'll just sit here and wait till somebody gets into training camp and gets hurt. Which is what a lot of veterans tend to do. Like, I think a couple different things would have to happen, and then Jerry would have to be, you know, very firm on I'm going to pull rank here, because I don't know that necessarily everybody else is dying to bring him back, even on a veteran minimum. I think they're ready to move on. But yeah, that's where I say 1%. I think that falls in the 1% category.
Bobby, if the Cowboys had it their way, would their favorite tight end be there for them to take in round one? Would that be their perfect scenario?
I think that there are obviously some guys that would be pipe dreams for them that they think like, man, we really don't think this guy will fall into our territory, but that'd be great. And if he did, we'd snatch him up. Like, I mean, CeeDee Lamb was never in the thought process for them when, you know, they were heading into that 2020 draft. They talked about how in all the mock drafts they did, he never got to them. So they didn't even really totally consider that as a possibility. And then he's there and it's boom, this is it. This is our dream scenario. So in that sense, I'm sure there are other people that they would have higher than that they think could, you know, one in a million shot potentially get to them. But in terms of the people that could realistically get to them, I think there's a decent chance that a tight end could be, you know, one of their higher, if not their highest graded player when they get there. That's possible. It kind of makes me wonder if they head into the draft without left guard addressed or seeing with left guard addressed, they may be wishing for other players. And then tight end wouldn't be as much of the focus, but I definitely think tight end is in the conversation for them. And I think they really like the class in general. And I think they like some players who could be there and play in round one.
Bobby, with all the new coaches or the coaches that moved around or new coaches, who's carrying the biggest stick in the offense for getting things done in the draft? I mean, you got a Dan Quinn, you get a Dan Quinn guy, but you know, who's standing up and vouching for offensive players and beating the table for offensive players with all these new coaches?
That's a good question. I think, you know, that's probably a little bit of an unknown at this point, but I think the one that makes the most sense would probably be Solari, because that's going to be, it sounds like there are different thoughts there from what Joe Philbin had, and those thoughts will need to be communicated to the scouting staff of like, hey, here are the parameters that I'm looking for. This is what I want to do. Or maybe just as importantly, saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want that. As much as wanting somebody, it could be about not wanting somebody. But look, I think that during the Mike McCarthy regime, even while Dan Quinn's been here and had a very big voice, I think that the last 3 years have very much been about let the scouts do their jobs and let the scouts make the picks, and that, you know, the coaches get a lot of say and they can work together. But largely this has been deference to the scouting staff, and I think it's been successful. And I would imagine that would continue here. But I think, you know, Solari would probably have a bigger voice here among the coaches in terms of what gets done if they pick an offensive line.
Yeah, but we heard an offensive line coach didn't like Tyler Smith last year, right? And they went ahead and drafted the guy. And that's to your point, that the scouts are the ones generating the picks here, right?
Yes, exactly. And I think that when you look at – I mean, look, you know the reason why Tyler Smith got picked – despite what the head despite what the offensive line coach said is because not only the scouts liked him, but it helped them that the head coach was also in favor of him. Mike McCarthy did like Tyler Smith.
There you go.
And so because of that, I think that scouts plus head coach trumped the offensive line coach. And look, that may be another person that has a big say here. This is going to be Mike McCarthy's offense. So Mike McCarthy may want to have more of a say. He seemed pretty deferential to the scouts overall, and so I don't know that that's going to change a ton just because he's calling the offense, but I do think that there's likely to be probably a bigger question about, okay, Mike Solari, what type of players are you looking for? What do you want us to go do? So in that sense, in terms of the input with the scouts and what the scouts probably need to add to their equation, the biggest change to their equation may come at offensive line.
Well, speaking of the offense, you came back from the combine, gave us a good report on maybe the direction they were going with that. McCarthy said today, football's an easy game. If you want your guys to play fast, give them less responsibility. That's where the secret sauce is in putting together a good offensive scheme. What were your takeaways on those thoughts from Coach McCarthy?
I guess, if you limit responsibility, obviously, like, guys are just able to think about less and you know, play at a faster pace. But sure, that's all there. That tempo can be increased. And obviously, if you're limiting certain things, you can go up tempo with the actual, like, entire offense, the huddle and everything else. And so that's, you can factor that in too. But in terms of, like, just making everything as basic as possible, I don't necessarily agree that that's the secret sauce to making an offense great. I don't know that Kyle Shanahan just simplifies everything. I don't know that a lot of the success we've seen in this, you know, passing game revolution over the last decade has been about just making things simple. In fact, the thing that routinely got criticized during the Jason Garrett, Scott Linehan era was that it was very simple and it was beat the man in front of you. And that's a lot of the concepts involved with what Mike McCarthy wants to do. Aaron Rodgers gave an interview last year to Barstool, to pardon my take, and talked about how much he loved the West Coast system that he played in for the first part of his career, and that was under Mike McCarthy. And he talked about, one of the things he loved about it is just the matchups, and it's beat the guy in front of you. And that sounds very much in line with what Mike McCarthy says there. I just don't know that it's the secret. At that point, I would think the secret is the best players possible with that scheme.
Yeah, good talent, better players. Hey, how realistic is it that Micah Parsons or any other Cowboy would switch to number zero?
So I got to remember what the rules are. I know there's like a certain window where you have to inform the NFL that you're going to make a change because of all the jerseys they've produced. And so, like, you got to wait a year. And I don't know if we're at that point yet or not. But, I mean, Micah clearly was talking today like he wanted it, and J-Ron Curse made it sound like, nope, I already got dibs on it. So if you want to change your number, you probably have to do something similar like Jalen Smith did when he switched to 9, which is buy up all your jerseys from the pro shop.
And that's like $500,000 or something, isn't it? This is like a huge expense.
I would guess Curse would have to spend less on his 27s than Micah would.
That's a good point. Might be able to
I hate this is the crustiest opinion I probably have, which is I hate the single digit jersey number revolution.
And I'm there with you.
I just don't like it. There's certain
things. Nothing sacred.
It messes with my OCD too much, and I need it all a very specific way. And the zero is just, you know, beyond the pale.
I liked it when numbers indicated your position group a lot. You know, it was easier to keep track of. Bob, anything else before we let you go?
Just that I love you all.
Love you too. There he is, Bobby Belt, Cowboys insider, almost every afternoon, 5:30 here in the G-Bag Nation.
What if Bobby said something, if he just added something to, you know, what he just said? And now you always ask him, is there something you want to add? Are you ever prepared if he adds something?
Yes.
He does sometimes, about 1 in 10. He'd be like, well, actually.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, yeah, Nick, like, you threw Nick Eatman off yesterday.
I did.
Like, Nick was like, whoa. He started talking about it like 1,000 other things. But it's like, you're like, oh, okay.
Oh, well, yeah. When I asked him that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You threw him off. And then Bobby.
Some guys feel pressure. Like, oh, I got to come up with something else.
I got to come up one more. Yeah. One more thing. Yeah.
I just want to make sure there's nothing that the guest was planning on telling us that's their A stuff, you know? Because sometimes my questions are horrible, you know? Sometimes I don't know what to ask, or I forget about a major story that I'm supposed to ask him about.
Yeah.
It's really a reflection on me being an idiot.
Admire your self-awareness over there, Dawson.
I appreciate Bob picking me up at the end of every interview.
Yeah.
You know, I just
I was
know.
Just wondering if Bob ever, like, added something that would be like, listen, we don't have time for you to add anything, Bob. We got to get on.
Fires back with a question.
Yeah, rhetorical question.
We got to get on to Joey's segment.
It's LA Live.
Yeah. It is time now for the number one rated segment in all of DFW radio. It's LA Live. Here's Joey filling in for Lucius.
Stop.
First off, it is an honor to be a part of the number one segment in DFW.
You're carrying it on, man.
Nerve-wracking?
Yeah, it really is. For the final time this week, a little LA Live on Ice. You guys will have Alec Metford the rest of the way, so I'm sure you'll get some AM on the FM. He does some great work. Wanted to get into a lot of things. We're going to jump around here. We're not going to talk just hockey, yesterday.
I do have a hockey question.
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Does it bother you that one of the divisions is called the Metropolitan?
Not really. What would you like it to be called? Do you want the old style, like the Campbell?
Yeah, something other than the Metropolitan.
No, that's fair.
The Campbell. Neapolitan?
The Clarence the Campbell cream? Division, yeah. Whatever you want to call it. Oh. Give me the names. I'm all about that. All right. The Metropolitan. You know, Gotham, whatever. I mean, I can't.
We just got to name an old hockey player.
Yeah. The Eddie Shore.
It's called the Gretzky.
The Eddie Shore division.
There you go. I like the Gretzky division.
Yeah. The Gretzky division. That would be good.
Why not? Let's get to our G-Bag of the Day winner in case anybody missed it at 2:30. We did have a tie, but so we had to go to the Tolos, and they chose Mr. Deion Sanders, and he had a take on jersey numbers at the collegiate level.
Anybody over 45? Didn't we have to earn every darn thing we got?
Yep.
Ain't nobody gave us nothing.
I had to buy my first Nintendo.
This whole new thing. First of all, we got this new thing now in college football about double numbers. We didn't have. If somebody gave you a double number in college, that assured that you weren't gonna play. that's how it was, wasn't it? Now it's like normal, and you gotta earn stuff. Ain't nobody giving you nothing. We got kids that ain't played a snap, you know, and you want to be one. You know what number one meant back in the day for us? That you were that one. Now you got number one getting a framed toy out of him out there on the field. Like, come on, you got to be crazy. Now it's a fight in the stands because the mama's wearing number one and her son, her baby's getting murdered out there. You know, like, come on. Like, it's just a new day. Single digits was something you had to be him.
Had to be him. Yeah, it is interesting to me. But that's what happens when you have a million people on your college roster. You have to have multiple numbers, dude. That's the way it is. Got a million people on
your roster. Not a lot of retired numbers there in Colorado.
Not a lot.
Did y'all ever get in a fight with anybody over a number growing up?
No.
About a sports team? Okay, because
I
never
totally
did either.
Cool with being 69.
Yeah. Fair enough. Nice.
Where is it? That's not a true story, is it?
No, I played in 69.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Did you ask for it?
No, I asked for 73 in honor of Larry Allen.
And they laughed?
But
they
got 60. Well, they didn't. 73 wasn't available at first. So first game I played was in the jersey number 69, and that is a true story. And then the second week I got 73.
Oh.
They always give the team manager number 69 at Plano.
Thank you so much.
The Wildcats.
Oh, jeez.
No, but Walchuk was a mean manager. He was blowing that whistle
never
like
managed
never
a day
seen.
In my life outside of my blocks? Madden team.
Which we
crushed.
There was a real presence about it.
Yeah, how many Wildcat paws did you have on your helmets when you ended up this thing?
Well, I didn't end up playing at Plano.
Oh.
Just as
he was
a Haggard
middle school
Eagle.
Stud. Oh. One of the best that never was, Zach Wolchuk.
Mm. Oh, in middle school you never got any
got
awards?
Kicked off the team
no,
for
they didn't,
smoking
they, we
cigarettes.
Didn't put any stickers on the helmets in middle school.
Well, at least not the poor players. The badass players.
The poor players. What do you mean by that?
I mean pooped on right now.
Not poor financially. I mean poor.
Eric's going
as
out of his way.
His
dad's walking around right now, chain smoking. I didn't do good enough.
Nope, you didn't, Dad. What the hell?
I will say though, a spring break college Oklahoma drill with Walchuk featured on the shoreline. That
crushing
people
on the beach, baby. Let's go.
That was the thing. If athletes could have been hydrating on the sidelines in high school football with beer instead of water, Walchuk would be one of the greatest that there ever was.
Whiskey, but you're right.
Sorry about that. I mean whiskey.
It'll bring out some football player in you.
It sure does. That'll bring out the anger.
Yeah. It's the only time I really played in college. I was like, well, we're going to have to get drunk.
All right. Okay. Now I'm ready to kick someone's ass.
Yeah. Now it's not going to hurt as bad.
Win or lose, we booze.
Someone. Let's go. Win or lose, we booze. I love that.
That was an LSU motto.
Joey?
I did want to touch on the Stars a little bit.
Back to you,
they
Joey.
Currently sit third right now in the Central Division.
Oh, my gosh.
They have
what
nine
happened?
Games remaining.
Should be named after a player.
Yeah, seven of the last
the
nine
division.
Are against teams that are not in playoff contention. So maybe they can buckle down here down the stretch and improve their playoff seating just a touch. And Jason Robertson, by the way, he's only a couple points away from having the most points in franchise history for a single season. He's at 91. Wow. The record is 93. That was set by Madonna back in 93, 94.
Is he better than Madonna already?
No, Not yet. But I think he might go down as one of the best Dallas Stars ever if he sticks around here long enough. And he gets a cup, of course. Because Modano does have that edge.
At least one.
But let's go to another great player. That's Connor McDavid. And we know about him. He has 140 points this year right now in 74 games. Well, we're going to go back to Paul Bissonnette. He told this story about how he actually played Connor McDavid in an exhibition game, and that's when he pretty much knew he needed to hang up the skates.
No word of a lie, my last NHL shifts were in an exhibition game up in Canada with the LA Kings organization, and McDavid was playing in that exhibition game. I got cut out there two times against him, dash one each time within seconds.
He scored both times, or he had a point?
He undressed our line, buddy. It was like, I was like, oh my god, this, I knew right then and there I was no longer cut out for the national team. And then I literally stepped on the plane and Sutter called me over and goes, hey, you're going down. And I was like, I know if you didn't come get me, I was coming to fucking walk over, buddy.
Yeah, I retire, coach.
Yeah. I'm sure some guys will do that. Michael Jordan, I'm sure there's some guys like, yeah, I'm just not cut out for this.
So he had like the first season with so many points since like 96.
Yeah.
In a whole different era.
Yeah. Wow. No, it's incredible what he's doing. And he has an opportunity to get 150, which will be exciting here down the stretch.
What's up with the word organization with Canadians?
Organization?
They always say it very strange.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's always a word. It's kind of a buzzword that hockey guys, you know, use all the time. But they say it funny.
I had a program director from Canada. He was a hockey guy. Yeah, and he wouldn't give me the you-knows, but he'd say, hey, I got a question. I'll phone you later.
Phone you.
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
Phone me, bro. See what happens.
Like you had a landline?
Yeah.
You got my number? Yeah.
You know.
The organization.
Just didn't do it today, you know.
Let's do a little This Day in Sports History. This is from 31 years ago. I'm just going to let the clip play, and then maybe you guys can figure out what it's from.
Shut up, Brian.
Still dropping over there,
Jay? A quick pass to half court and call a quick timeout so they can get in better shooting range.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up.
Perfect.
Yes!
Grant made a great pass. And when I went in, I couldn't believe it. That happened to me twice in a career. And it was just incredible.
I missed most of that game. I come home, and my dad's a huge Duke fan. And I remember that game and Mark McGwire's, like, 60-second home run more than pretty much anything from my youth watching sports.
Was that at the Spectrum in Philadelphia? Was that game? I'm trying to remember back then if it was that far back. I think it was. But who was on the call? Is that like a Vern Lundquist?
Yeah, I believe it was Lundquist.
Lundquist and Jim Sparnarkle or something like that? One of those things, maybe?
I didn't recognize that other voice. That was at the Spectrum, though, in Philadelphia.
It was in Philly? Yeah, okay. I was kind of thinking, like, yeah, it was. Man, what a great play.
It was.
With Sparnarkle. In Philly. Okay. Okay. Remember watching it.
Another local story here. This is from the TCU strength and conditioning coach for the football team. I believe his name is Kaz Kazadi. I hope I'm saying that right. This is from a couple weeks ago, and he had some good words of wisdom for his guys as they head into a spring break a couple weeks ago.
Spring break. There's only one f***ing rule in spring break. Come back healthy. It's not worth you having such a great time that you don't come back healthy. Don't do anything stupid. There's people that love you and they're dependent on you to come back healthy. Don't take anything from anybody you don't know. You got kids in the Plano area, they got somebody laced something with some fentanyl, and that's the last somebody saw. That's a damn shame, especially for spring break. You go to a bar, make sure you don't trust the guys in the bar. The world's different now. You guys, that spring break we used to go, guys come back healthy. Now people are coming back dead. That's not right. Don't do that. Don't go somewhere and do something that's going to cost your family. Next thing, drinking and driving. Be smart. Come back healthy, coach. Have a good time. You deserve 10 days off, but you don't deserve to die over spring break. Are we clear?
Yes, sir.
Man, that's unfortunate. You know, coaches and parents and teachers got to give that message. You know, kids can't just go out there and drink and pop whatever pill your buddy might have these days. Might have some damn fentanyl in it.
He says that, and you wonder how many kids are just going, whatever.
He's right.
You better listen.
Yeah.
Kid did die in Plano for that, man.
No, I mean, and that's what I'm saying. These coaches say a lot of things, and some of these kids are just like, man, I don't have time for this.
You make sure if you're going to take prescription narcotics, it was prescribed to you. Okay, we got a trainer right over here. He can help you out. Yeah. You don't want any of this you know, stuff might have that fentanyl in it. I have no idea how is that good for business? You're killing your customers. It's just so crazy what an era we live in, man.
That's all I got for you, fellas. Appreciate you.
Thank you, Joey.
Let me hang out with you.
Joey Erickson, you got LA Live on Ice, been happening most every afternoon, 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Okay, a lot of stuff been going on throughout the day, trying to make sense of what the Cowboys are working with. Maybe this is just killing time and trying to put the right kind of answers on stuff, but they're talking about Terrence Steele at left guard and maybe bringing Ezekiel Elliott back. Which one of those two things you think is realistic? If you had to pick one of them, which one do you think is actually could happen?
I can't believe that they would play Terrence Steele at guard.
Yeah.
I just can't. I mean, especially with there's two or three guys in this draft that they can. Terrence Steele has proven that he is a capable right tackle.
Yeah.
Boy, he's proven that.
He's gotten better every year.
But that torque, that raw power is even more important there inside. I mean, he gets away with
the right
tackle.
That's been the knock on him is the upper body
strength.
That's
the thing that bothers me the most because I know, I mean, 14 years working for Jerry Jones, I know this. I know how he feels about the inside, the guards and the centers. I know it. You know, there's a reason why. He learned that with Ron Leary, Travis Frederick, Zach Martin. That's why they drafted Zach Martin.
It's all about great guard play this time of year.
Well, it's just the inside. It's the ability for the quarterback to step up.
Right.
Yeah. Just to go somewhere in the pocket. You know, have that ability. They can handle the stuff off the edges. It's the stuff up the middle that they can't handle anymore. So it there's no way they're thinking about playing that kid at guard. Really.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I would be blown. That would have to be the steroid offseason of his life. To get the kind of tree trunks for legs that you would need in order to sit down at that position and play against big defensive tackles.
I just don't see it. I don't see the
you
fit.
You saw
there.
What happened to Connor Williams, right?
Yes.
Didn't you guys watch
totally
Connor?
Because he
didn't
wasn't strong enough.
Didn't you see that?
And Steele is tall.
He's long. He's a great athlete. If you don't ask him to block one-on-one, but these teams all play with these fronts where they're going to cover him.
Okay, quickly, what is the percentage chance that Zeke actually comes back? I'm going to put the over-under at 6.5%.
I actually think there's a chance. I think Jerry might throw him a bone. That's just me throwing it out there.
I'm going under.
I don't think it can happen, nor it should happen, and I don't think it will happen.
Okay, let's do a little sports hodgepodge in next, Chief. Where are you going with that?
We got all sorts of fun stuff to bring you. A couple of stats of the days. We got some trash talk comparisons, and coaches are talking with some great quotes. That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.